Good morning, Pyle. Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. Was the theme yesterday for Cover Sports teams to... Because the Avs and Rockies both did that yesterday.
Oh, big time gack.
Like a kitty cat with a hairball in its throat. On both yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
For the Rockies and the Avalanche. Avs blow a 3-0 lead against the Blues. Lose 5-4 in overtime. Rockies had 2 3-run leads in that game yesterday against Pittsburgh. They got 13 hits on the road. CJ Cronin hits a home run, and they end up losing 10-5 because they give up 2 3-run bombs. The bullpen goes out and poops down both legs yesterday. The Avalanche, though, that's the one. Look, the Rockies lose the series to the Pirates. That hurts. That's a team you should beat. Should go into their place, you should beat them.
Mm-hmm.
But last night hurt if you're an Avalanche fan. You get an incredible performance from Nathan MacKinnon. And I said it yesterday to Connor McGahee. I said, do we see the big guns get going?
You did.
And we did last night.
Yeah.
MacKinnon with a hat trick. That last goal was sick. It was incomprehensibly good.
It was nuts.
And yet, that effort from Nathan MacKinnon, a 3-0 lead in that game, a chance to clinch, to put yourself in the Western Conference Finals since the early 2000s, you let it slip through your fingers.
There's a little bit of, actually, there wasn't a little bit. There was a lot of, hey, we got it, boys. About halfway through the second.
Yeah.
And that's when the wheels started to fall off.
And, I mean, the last 6 minutes, not good for the Avalanche. I mean, it was a desperate St. Louis team.
Yep.
They were playing for their season. They had the will, they had the effort when it mattered the most.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in the third period. And for the Avalanche, it was a Bob Hartley turd period. I got the sense in watching some of the post-game conversations, Landeskog, MacKinnon. They're hot. They're hot. They should be. They should be hot. You know, the classic Denny Green. You know, you had him and let them off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they weren't really who you thought they were, because
kind of scrappy bunch.
St. Louis is good. But you had them down. You had them down 3-0 on your home ice.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't seal the deal. How concerned are you if you're an Avalanche fan? I mean, still lead the series, 3-2. Go to St. Louis tomorrow night. Still could finish it off. But you had a chance to be done with the St. Louis Blues team. You have now given them life. You have given them an opportunity to have hope in this series. Where last night, after what the Avs did in St. Louis, the Kadri hat trick, all that went on there, emotion clearly on Colorado's side. You saw that last night. They got up 3-0. And to let it get away from you the way it did last night. To not have the killer instinct to finish this thing off. I hope this does not come back to bite them.
I hope not.
If it gets to game 7, I know it'll be at Ball Arena. I don't think the Blues will be
favored in that game.
They should be.
Yeah.
They should be favored. And I know a lot of Avalanche fans say, it's going to be okay. Yeah, okay. yeah, they're still up 3-2. They go to St. Louis tomorrow night, take care of business. But you have given them hope.
Mm-hmm.
And now the self-doubt begins, I think, if you're the Avalanche, right? Here we go again.
Yeah.
Second round. Here we go again. We had a chance to finish this thing off. We had a chance to get it done last night, and we didn't do it. The self-doubt has to creep in a little bit if you're Jared Bednar's boys. It has to. Because you've been here, and you have failed in this round.
Mm-hmm.
The last 3 years. The last three postseasons, you've failed in this round. And here you were last night with an opportunity on your home ice to go, done, moving on. Gentlemen, yeah. Sweep. We're done with this. See ya, Ryan O'Reilly. See ya, David Perron. Bye. Right. And they didn't do it last night. And man, I just...
No, they didn't.
I think you got to be worried if you're an Avalanche fan. That will the doubt, the self-doubt start to creep in? And look, and I like what Landeskog said. He goes, it's a loss is like a win in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You celebrate for about 3 minutes and then you move on. Hopefully that is a case where they can shake it off and clearly move on. I mean, they were down, you know, to the final moments of the game where they, even though the Blues had managed to fight their way back, there was, you know, a chance for this team to finish them off and didn't do it. I mean, the Avs outshot the Blues 18-9.
Mm-hmm.
You know, during, you know, in the dominance that was in the second period, Landeskog got his third goal. Devon Taves, you know, shot from the point at 4:03, and then McKinnon passed the puck to Taves, who, you know, Landeskog got a stick on it. There were stretches where they dominated that game last night. But the Blues refused to go away. They refused to go, okay, we're down 3-0, we're done. Let's get the golf bags out and they still want to play hockey.
Right.
And now the Avalanche have to do some deep examination of themselves about what happened on Wednesday night. Can they shake it off? Because if they win tomorrow night, okay, we'll forget about what happened the other night, probably. I mean, it's not going to be a lingering thing.
Right. Yeah, it won't stick around, but it'll...
But...
It will if they lose.
If they lose, you had them down 3-0 at your place and a chance to finish them in a gentleman's sweep, and you didn't get it done. We'll have it tomorrow night, 5:30, right here on the team. And then, if all games, at least during the week of JUCO, will be over on 1100 KNZZ, 92.7 FM. So, but tomorrow night, it will be on the team. So keep that in mind. All right, so we also have, of course, the Junior College World Series. We're going to give you a chance to win some tickets, a single game tickets to JUCO coming up later on this morning. Also a chance to play the Pile's favorite game on a Thursday, which is... Win! So that's coming up. We'll also preview the D2 Super Regional. Mavericks heading to San Angelo, nice. Texas. Take on Angelo State. We will have a Know Your Enemy coming up with Jeremy Bryant, who appreciate Jeremy providing the broadcast for us over on 95.7 The Monkey. That'll start tomorrow night at 5:45. Best 2 out of 3 to go to Cary, North Carolina in the World Series with the Mavericks and the Rams. So that tied up 3-3 in their six meetings. So pretty evenly matched series in this best 2 out of 3 between the Mavericks and the Rams. So we'll talk with Jeremy Bryant, the voice of Angelo State, coming up in just a little bit. Also, keep it on the Lone Star theme. Mm-hmm. Tom Arrington, San Jacinto coach, will join us at 9:00 this morning. So that and more coming up this morning in the program. So we've got some thoughts on the Avs loss last night. Also, that we'll do it today and tomorrow. Which team are you rooting for at JUCO? Have you already adopted a favorite based on mascot, where they're from, who you traditionally root for? Because we have a lot of the brands you know and trust back
mm-hmm.
in the series this year. And so if you got some thoughts on that today as well, who you pulling for at JUCO, you can text in or call in the show today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. Do want to mention couple of big events today with JUCO. The Challenger game and the Kids Clinic are both back, by the way, which is fantastic to have them back. And the Challenger games, Parade of Teams at 4:30. Games are at 5:30. That's at Canyon View tonight. If you want to go out and cheer on the Challenger players, and the teams will be out there tonight as well. And then also you have the Kids Clinic, and that is tonight, 5:30, over at Sam Saplesio Field. So, and that's free, by the way. They prefer that you register in advance. You can go to the JUCO GJ website to get the details, JUCOGJ.org. But when Kenny Johnson was with us, he said, look, they're not going to turn anybody away if you show up with your son or daughter to be involved in the clinic. They will accommodate folks as well if they're just walk-ups. 5:30 tonight over at Sam Saplesio Field, and that's free. They get the little goodie bag as well from the MLB play ball that they do. And so get over there and check that out tonight. Take your kids over there to get involved with the kids' clinic. And players from JUCO teams will also be over there, like they'll be out at the Challenger games as well. All right, 7-Eleven, and it's time for...
What's happening?
All right, start things out this morning. The Avalanche blew a golden chance to punch their ticket to the Western Conference Finals after losing in overtime 5-4 to St. Louis last night at Ball Arena. Colorado wasted a hat trick from star Nathan MacKinnon in a 3-0 lead as former Denver University star Tyler Bozak scored the game winner in overtime for the Blues. Habs captain Gabriel Landeskog says he simply just didn't get the job done.
First two periods, I thought we played really good and played some really good hockey. And we got tied in the third, and obviously they ramped up their desperation level, which is to expect. They're playing for their season, and just didn't get it done.
Colorado still leads the series 3-2 as it heads back to St. Louis for game 6 tomorrow. Pre-game at 5:30 tomorrow evening on the Team Sports Network. They'll play the winner of Edmonton and Calgary. Those two teams play tonight. Edmonton leads that series 3-1 and a chance to close it out.
Come on, Flames.
Yeah, come on, Flames. Extend
that
series
a little longer.
Make it a little longer. The Rockies lose another road series and falling at Pittsburgh 10-5 on Wednesday. Colorado blew two three-run leads despite getting 13 hits along with a home run from C.J. Krohn. Rockies reliever Carlos Estevez gave up a three-run home run to Jack Sawinski in the fifth, with Justin Lawrence surrendering a three-run home run to the Pirates' Josh Van Meter in the seventh. Colorado drops 2-3 to Pittsburgh as they head to Washington. Pregame at 4:25 today on the Team Sports Network. Crowder College, Missouri is on the doorstep of being a regular at the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series. 2022 marks the Rough Riders' third trek from Neosho, Missouri to Grand Junction since 2017. They opened their tournament run as the 5 seed starting out Sunday morning against Central Arizona. Rough Riders head coach Travis Lalleman says the biggest draw to their seeding is that day off.
Playing a team as quality as Central Arizona, rest and stuff is important. We're going to have to go play extremely well. We have been playing pretty well. You know, we've seen 5 number ones in 10 games of postseason. So we've been battle tested.
Crowder, Missouri will take on Central Arizona 10 o'clock Sunday morning over at Sam Saplesio Field. The Cali County Tigers are into the JUCO World Series once again for the third consecutive tournament, 2019, 2021, and now 2022. Not including the 2020 series, which was, of course, canceled due to COVID. In last year's tournament, the Tigers fell to the eventual runner-up Central Arizona. Back for 2022, Cali Tigers head coach Darren Burrows says returning with seasoned veterans means not getting too caught up in the excitement.
I mean, it's always good to have guys that have been there and have been in it. They not quite as starstruck, maybe, and those guys performed well, and we expect them to lead us again. And hopefully we're there a long time. It's a star-studded field, and everybody's going to have to play well to keep advancing.
Once again, catch this year's Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series on the Team Sports Network starting this Memorial Day weekend. And one final note this morning involving Colorado Mesa football. Former CMU Mav safety DeMarn Mitchell is going to get a shot at playing professional football. Mitchell tweeted, and the Daily Sentinel reported he's received an invitation to the XFL Texas Showcase July 24th in Arlington, Texas. Mitchell is from Magnolia, Texas, and was first-team All-RMAC selection in 2018, 2020, and 2021. He was also a second-team AP All-American selection in 2021. The XFL is scheduled to start February of 2023 and is owned by wrestling star and actor Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And that's...
What's happening?
All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Should mention, by the way, NBA last night, Boston taking down Miami, 93-80 last night. Jaylen Brown with 25 points. Jason Tatum added 22. Celtics now lead that series 3-2. All right, so the team that you're rooting for at this year's Alpine Bank Junior College World Series. Thoughts about the Avalanche blowing a golden opportunity last night to clinch their series and move to the Western Conference Finals with that overtime loss to the St. Louis Blues last night. So a text or call in today. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line 970-242-1340. That's 970-242-1340. We will take a break. We'll come back other side of the break. We'll talk with Jeremy Bryant. He is the voice of the Angelo State Rams. Colorado Mesa Baseball opens up the Super Regional tomorrow at San Angelo, Texas against the Rams. We'll talk with him next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
And what do you want?
To know my enemy.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
An Arabic proverb attributed to a prince who was betrayed and decapitated by his own subjects.
Still, it's a hell of a quote.
All right, we go behind enemy lines and we bring in Jeremy Bryant, who is not our enemy. Fellow broadcaster, does a great job covering Angelo State. Jeremy, we appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on this morning to talk about the Angelo State Rams.
Good morning, Jim. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. And this is familiar territory for Angelo State and for Colorado Mesa. These two teams have squared off over the years in regional play. Both have won the six games, have won three apiece. And so we get to a big rubber match this weekend with a trip to Cary, North Carolina at stake between these two.
Yeah, exactly right. It seems like every single year it's between Angelo State and Colorado Mesa. Which one of these two schools will make it out the South Central region to the Division II World Series down there in Cary, North Carolina? Six of the last seven postseasons, it's been either Mesa or Angelo State. So, this should be an interesting series because these two teams have two of the best offenses in the country. I mean, Mesa is number one in the nation in batting average and home runs, and Angelo State's third in the country in batting average, and they're first in on-base percentage. And you can go on and on and on that this could be some wild scores maybe this weekend.
Both teams, though, have lost some key arms. Andrew Morris transferred to Texas Tech for the Mavericks, and then Trent Baker is so great for you last year, drafted in the ninth round by St. Louis, so he's now working his way through the minor league. So a couple of big losses for both these teams in terms of their frontline starters.
Yeah, I think it could really come down to the bullpen for both for this series, especially if there's a game three. You're exactly right. I think both teams' rotations aren't as deep as we saw maybe in past years. I think bullpens are maybe a little weaker for both teams as well. A couple things that I also noticed or interested in this series, the temperature on Saturday is supposed to be 102 degrees. Ooh. So that's where fatigue could come to be a factor, especially for a bullpen or for both teams. And then also one thing that could favor Mesa in the series, one thing at Foster Field in San Angelo, the wind blows out typically. And when it gets hotter, the wind blows out even more so to left field. So for the team that leads the country in home runs, that should favor the Mavericks.
Jeremy Bryant, the voice of the Angelo State Rams, joining us. He'll have the call over on our sister station, the Monkey 95.7. First game of the three-game set, the best two out of three, coming up tomorrow night over on 95.7, the Monkey. Pregame for that one at 5:45. And you'll hear Jeremy's call that tomorrow night. When you look at, we mentioned the big loss in terms of your arm last year with Trent Baker. And so the guy was your number two guy last year, now becomes your number one pitcher. That's Ben Elder, who's had a really good season, 9-2 record, ERA of 3.28. Kind of take us through the season that Elder has had as now the really kind of the main arm, the ace of the Rams pitching staff.
Yeah, this is something he was always, in his mind, destined to do. He was having a great season in 2021, had some off-the-field issues towards later in the season, kind of was a little speed bump for him last season and had a tough start in the World Series. So he's just been a different guy this year. He knows that he is the man in this rotation, and his numbers have proved it. And, like I said, both, I think you're not going to see, 3 years ago, these two teams played a best of three-game Super Regional Series, and every game was decided by one run. And they were all decided, usually, I think, two of the three games were, 2-1 or 3-2. I have a hard time believing you'll see a lot of pitchers' duels, though, in this weekend series.
Yeah, no doubt about that. A couple of very prolific offensive ball clubs Mavericks come in with the best offense in the nation, led by Hayden McGeary, who's on the Golden Spikes watch list, a guy that was repeated as the region player of the year, likewise to the RMAC player of the year as well. And when you talk about your offense, the Rams offense, you mentioned one of the best in the country. Justin Lee's a big part of that, hitting an incredible 453. He's got 8 home runs. He's driven in 77, that second best in terms of RBIs on your team, Jeremy. And Justin Lee was a guy that at one point we thought might end up at Cabrera Mesa. But instead, he ends up at Angelo State. And you guys are glad that he ended up playing down in San Angelo.
That's exactly right. And I think you're seeing, honestly, I think there's several players now year after year because these are two of the top teams in the country every single year in Division II baseball that you're seeing a lot of recruits comes down to maybe Angelo State, Colorado Mesa, or maybe another Division I school because these two programs have built a caliber of a program that rivals a lot of the smaller Division I schools that you see in Division I baseball.
Angelo State. Play-by-play voice Jeremy Bryan joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Who's a player, Jeremy, from a positional standpoint that at the plate this season, you've seen tremendous improvement and has become a valuable part of the offensive attack for the Rams? Who's that guy for that you've seen this season?
Well, he's kind of guy that's been under the radar. In fact, he missed about 20 games this year. Shortstop Justin Harris, he's towards the bottom of the lineup, but he actually received second-team all-conference honors, but he only played in about less than 40 games. So he's one that's really come on, and that's the thing about this lineup. And I'm sure Mesa has this same feature as well, but there's been a lot of guys hurt this year in Angelo State, so there's a lot of guys stepping in off the bench that were not expected to play this year, at least maybe just platoon, that are now starting. And that's sometimes what it comes down to, who can step up when the injuries do happen, especially this late in the season. But Justin Harris, a shortstop, is one to keep an eye out tomorrow night and the weekend.
Jeremy Bryant, the voice of the Angelo State Rams, with us today on the Team Sports Network. I do have to ask about a local player that is on the Rams roster, and that's Tyler Boggs, that played at Fruto Monument High School, catcher for the Rams. This season he's hitting .306. He has had some opportunities, some ABs for the Rams this season. But Tyler Boggs, the local connection from a high school standpoint, that's at Angelo State.
Yeah, he is. He's had actually an outstanding year. And I talk about injuries. He's actually one that, to my knowledge, is maybe will not play this weekend. Like I said, I think Angelo State's had 3 catchers. They've been rotating around. They've started at least 10 games, but he's had a great year, but he had some injuries the last couple of weeks that sort of slowed down his season.
Jeremy Bryant, the voice of the Angelo State Rams, with us on the Team Sports Network. The Rams take on Cabrera Mesa in the Super Regional starting tomorrow night over at 95.7 The Monkey, pregame at 5:45 for that one. First pitch at 6 o'clock, and Jeremy will have the call for you on that one. And when you look at this Mesa roster, obviously you're familiar with this group. You saw them last year in the same situation, Jeremy. And Hayden McGeary has had a phenomenal season. It speaks volumes. He's the only D2 guy on the Golden Spikes watch list for the best amateur baseball player. So it speaks, like I said, speaks volumes. He's a back-to-back region player of the year, back-to-back RMAC player of the year. Spencer Bramwell's been great. Caleb Farmer had an outstanding game against St. Edward's the other day. I mean, the list goes on, but who's the guy in this lineup that you go, I mean, outside of the usual suspects, that you go, that guy's a thorn in the Rams' side from an offensive standpoint? Who's that guy for you for the Mavericks?
That's a tough question because I think, like I said before, and I think we were talking about this just a couple of days ago, that the Coach Hanks made some changes in the lineup last weekend, and you saw some guys that come in. Made some big contributions in that big 28-9 win over St. Edward's. It's hard to pinpoint just one person because there's just been different guys that have stepped up.
Yeah.
That's one thing I would say is that I think these two teams are very similar in the fact that they are very deep. You can throw in any guy off the bench, and they have made contributions when they got that opportunity.
Hey, Jeremy, I appreciate the time, and thank you so much for helping us out. It's a week where our manpower is stressed to the limit, and we really appreciate the fine work that you've done in the past and what you're going to do this weekend as well. Jeremy Bryant will have the call of the games over on 95.7 The Monkey the South Central Super Regional, a trip to Cary, North Carolina, the World Series at stake in that one. Once again, that starts tomorrow night over on 95.7 The Monkey, pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6 o'clock from Foster Field in Angelo, Texas. Jeremy, appreciate it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Jim, and I wish we were actually up in Grand Junction. It's a little bit nicer view and a lot nicer weather up at Grand Junction than it is in 100-degree heat and dry here in West Texas, but we'll take what we got.
Well, you know, if you want to, you know, call the folks at Angelo State and say, look, you know, change of plans. Jeremy Bryant would rather be up in Grand Junction playing at Bergman than, I mean, we're all for that. That'd be great. That'd be fantastic to welcome you into town with all the JUCO folks.
What? There might not be a broadcast after you deliver that news, though. I'm not sure how that'll be well received. But no, we enjoyed our time up there a couple of years in 2015-16 up there in Grand Junction.
Yeah, absolutely enjoyed visiting with you when you were up here the last time. Hey, Jeremy, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, take care, Jeremy Bryant, the voice of the Angelo State Rams. Super good guy. Really appreciate him helping us out this weekend. Yeah. And look, I know that folks would like us to go, and we wish that opportunity was there, but it's sadly not. But kind of like the situation with Palisade, it's tough to get somebody over there from here to do it. But appreciate Jeremy Bryant stepping in to cover the Mavericks games for us, and likewise for J.J. Valentine doing the Palisade games tomorrow. So
there's an argument to be made. The Mavs were the top seed in the regional a couple of years back and didn't host. So I'm just saying, return the favor. South Central region.
Yeah, I don't think Angelo State's going to be that generous. Come on.
Come on.
You wouldn't be.
The game's not till tomorrow. Can't they turn around?
Nor would I be that generous either. Yeah, come on, man.
I'm not physically or mentally prepared for 100 degrees yet.
Oh, but that's why we have the diamond at the Bergman Sports Complex now. Because of that reason. And so now, if that opportunity of, for example, if Kingsville would have upset Angelo State, Mavs would be playing here tomorrow night. Think about that, man. On the eve of the Junior College World Series. You got South Central Region going and the Junior College World Series at the same time. Chaos and mayhem for us to a degree.
Yeah.
But also would have been really cool, too, to be quite honest.
Would have really liked the Avs to close it out last night so the mayhem and chaos would be a little less. But still.
But thanks a lot, Avalanche.
Yeah. Good job. Good job, guys. Good
defense.
Thanks
a lot.
Good hustle.
Come on, boys. Let's hope they get it done tomorrow night in St. Louis. So we got some thoughts about the Avalanche losing last night in overtime to the Blues. They had a 3-0 lead in that game. And a chance to close it out.
They were dominating.
It sounded like Jerry Seinfeld. They dominated stretches in that game. Big stretches. St. Louis, they weren't going to go away.
I mean, they essentially wasted Nathan McKinnon's ridiculous goal.
Yeah. Hat trick. I mean, the secondary scoring has been there for the Avalanche, and we've been kind of waiting, you know, because McKinnon was great in the Nashville series. Mm-hmm. At some point, Mac's going to get it going, right?
Right.
But, and I said to Connor McGee, is tonight, last night, the night? Connor's like, gosh, I hope so. Well, it was.
It was to an extent, yeah.
It was. All right, so text or call the show, 970-242-1340. Reminder, by the way, once again, that the Challenger games are tonight over at Canyon View. And one of the cool things that they do is they have the parade of teams at 4:30. So you can get out there and cheer on all the Challenger teams. And the games start at 5:30 at Canyon View. And that's free. There's no charge to go. Watch the Challenger games. And then the kids' clinic is over at Saplesio at 5:30 tonight. And so that is a free event as well. A couple of things we've not had the last couple of years because of the pandemic, back this year for 2022. And it adds to what's so amazing about the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series.
Yeah, a little more flavor.
A little more flavor. All right, who do we have on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line?
This is Sam.
All right. Samuel. Good morning, Samuel.
Jim Davis. Jim Davis.
How are you, sir?
Well, after last night, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not either.
Boy, the way the team started out, it was great. I mean, I about yelled myself hoarse screaming at the TV. And as the game wore on, and the Blues decided that they weren't going to roll over. I really thought that the Big Mac's end-to-end drive for that go-ahead goal would wake the team back up.
Oh, yeah. They are just incredible.
They seem to just about be sleepwalking through the third period. And, boy, suddenly, you know, McKinnon with that tear down the ice, I couldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe the fact that they couldn't keep out of the overtime period. I don't know. And I don't know if you've watched much of the Calgary Oilers.
Just little bits here and there.
I tell you, Edmonton, you know, I didn't think Calgary was that bad. Edmonton is really grinding them up. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, beat the Blues, face Edmonton. That's going to be the challenge because they look fantastic.
And this is where, you know, nailing it down last night would have been so good. Get a little bit of rest, give the guys an extra, you know, couple of days off, get ready for probably, like you said, it'll probably be Edmonton. And now you got to go back to St. Louis. Their fans are going to be at full throat. Another chance to boo Kadri, though that may not be, if it didn't work out very well for them last time. Maybe boo him as much as you want to, okay? And maybe hopefully they'll have another hat trick. But now they put themselves in a really difficult spot here where they got to go back to St. Louis. St. Louis wins that game, Sam. Game 7 of Ball Arena, I don't care if it's on home ice. We talked about it before. Buck, you and I agree. If that happens, the Blues are going to be the mm-hmm. favorites. They're going to be the favorites to win that game and move on to the Western Conference Finals.
Because they're going to have the
at least emotionally
mojo yeah. coming in.
Yes, they will.
And you know, the rest of the path to the Cup isn't that easy either. You know, like I say,
Tampa Bay's pretty good again, aren't they?
Playing lights out.
Yeah.
And then Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Tampa Bay's been. I mean, they just take down the you know the President's Trophy winner in Florida. I mean, just beat them like a big brother giving an atomic wedgie to a little brother. I mean, that's how Tampa just kind of manhandled Florida. I mm-hmm. watched some of that series, and it was Claude Giroux. I felt bad for him.
Did become the sort of a Panthers fan, though. Team bonding after game 3. Go out, see some sights, if you will.
Right.
Then get swept.
And then get swept. So,
yeah, it's the rest of the road to the Cup is not going to be easy. And the way things fell apart last night, I'm beginning to wonder if the Avs have got the heart for it. Wow. You know.
And
like you
night,
say, they're looking at the last couple of years and not making it through the second round. And I don't know.
You can't tell you know, me that
usually,
that doesn't.
I usually sit down and expected them to win.
Yeah,
and I thought they were going to win last night, even before the first puck was dropped.
And you can say all you want, though. That, you know, we thought about it for 3 minutes, and it's out of our minds. But that going back to their recent history, with predominantly this same group of guys, that's got to come back. And be in their minds like, here we go, second round, where we've flamed out the last 3 times, and we had a chance to nail it down last night. We didn't do it. Now even though we lead the series 3-2, it's we're swimming upstream because we got to go to St. Louis to try to finish this thing. And I just you know they got some additional scoring last night outside of O'Reilly and Perron last night, and that's been one of the problems for St. Louis. They got some other guys like Falk, and that you know got on the sheet.
Thomas,
and then Bozak, the former DU kid that you know got the game winner in overtime. They got some additional scoring last night, and if the dam is broke there a little bit, it's gonna be tough tomorrow night. Hey Sam, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, and save the rest of that voice, okay. Rest that voice for tomorrow night. All right, thanks, Sam. Appreciate it. Sam, out in Fruita. Yeah, with concerns, and I think rightfully so, about the Avalanche. You don't want to freak out and lose your mind because they go there, they win it, they move on. But man, last night, that's a moment where you question the killer instinct of this team.
That hurt.
Because if you're going to be the big bad bully on the block and win a Stanley Cup, that's a game you win last night. You take that 3-0 lead.
And you win 5-0.
You crush them. You rip out their still beating hearts and show it to Ryan O'Reilly and David Perron and Craig Berube. And they didn't last night. 7:40. Which team are you rooting for at JUCO as well? If you got one, I think we got text in this morning. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line from, I believe, Jared sent one in. Good morning, Jared. How are you doing? I like an underdog, so I'll be rooting for the Hartford Fighting Owls. I like that. Good. I think, yeah, sometimes you like the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
You like the nickname.
Yeah.
You have, like, Sneed State, they're the Parsons, which, for understanding, talking with John Williams, one of the guys out there with...
the famous conductor,
John Williams? No, not that John Williams.
Oh, okay. That's a unique name.
John was out there. Along with Tex Tolman and Steve Dugdale. They were all out yesterday when Cali was taking BP. And John said that he had read a thing that was originally started as a Christian school in the 1800s, Sneed State. So it's got a very, very long history. I've not done that personal in-depth work myself, but that's what conductor John Williams was telling me yesterday in the dugout.
I usually don't let prep get in the way of just making it up on the spot. So,
well, he said it with some authority, and I'm also saying this with a qualifier that I'm not the one that
right. That's you said you hadn't started to dig in yet, and yeah. I said who lets prep get in the way of just making it up on the spot?
Yeah, great.
It's more fun to do that. It shows your more creative side, your artistic side, to just make it up on the spot.
But I did check out our Facebook page throughout the week because we're going to put some of the videos when we go out and talk to coaches and get some of the players and things like that. And did a brief little interview with Casey Underwood. And part of that's about how he started out as a maintenance guy at Sneed State to pay the bills so he could be a baseball coach.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, to me, I have a ton of respect for somebody that goes out and vacuums floors, empties trash cans, cleans toilets. My mom was a school cook. My mom also did that. Cleaned a lot of people's houses over the years and cleaned offices and did some of that stuff with her, helping her out as much as my lazy butt would help and when I was a kid. But I have a ton of respect for people that start out doing some really hard, difficult jobs. And part of that for him was to chase his passion to be a baseball coach. And so that's on there. It's on our Facebook page.
Tristan
Tordowski, who got the win for them.
Yeah.
And Tristan, we almost got hit by a ball as well when I was talking to him. He's like, and he ducks.
He's got a glove, though, right?
No, he didn't have a glove on at that moment. We were talking. No, he just got off the bands and we were talking. So
gotcha.
You can check out those videos at our Facebook page, which you can find all that at theteam1340.com. You ready for some sound check?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Well, you talked to Sam about, keeping the voice, resting up the voice for Game 5 or Game 6 coming up tomorrow
night. Game 6, yeah.
A guy that's going to be doing the hot tea and honey, maybe a little whiskey to help soften up those vocal cords is Connor McGahee, because...
I think if I texted him, he'd come on this morning. It's like, no!
I don't know.
No, I can't do it.
Little squeaky on Nathan McKinnon's end-to-end rush.
Nathan McKinnon had a hat trick in the playoffs last year versus the Blues. McKinnon with two goals. McKinnon in between the circles. McKinnon, he scores! Oh, my goodness gracious me! Nathan McKinnon, throw the chapeau! The Mac Attack is back with a goal and a play that you will hear and see over and over and over and over! I don't believe it! I simply do not believe it! Nathan McKinnon goes right to left, coast to coast! He took the moment! He has three, and the Avalanche are up by one with 2:46 to go in the third period.
Get him some tea, man.
Yeah. Get him a lozenge.
Yep. A little bit of warm water, maybe something.
Yeah.
Tea, a Ricola.
Ricola.
Yeah. He's squeaking a bit.
Don't blame him, though.
Understandably.
Understandable.
I'm sitting there on the couch. I'm like, okay, because we're going to have to go to bed at some point.
Right.
And also, you know, with the way our system works, you got to kind of keep an eye on that.
And I was checking that as well before I went to bed.
Okay.
I was thinking the same thing you were thinking.
I was trying to keep enough energy to stay awake and not drift off on the couch, but also keep it low to where I could go to bed and not get too jacked up. And then Nathan MacKinnon just ruined that for everybody.
I got a text on the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line today. Mike from Scottsdale, listening on the mobile app. Good morning, muchachos. The Avs loss was deflating, but I expect the Avs to boat race the Blues in St. Louis. It'll be like game three after the first wake-up call in game two. Kemper will also be better. Let's hope that is the case. 56 seconds last night. They were right there. And then Falk gets that goal. And
that wasn't entirely on Darcy
Kemper. It was not entirely on Darcy Kemper. And you'll hear from Jared Bednar. Bednar says, look, that's not everything that happened last night was on Darcy Kemper.
They got to do a better job of clearing out
and
in front of him.
And Bednar talks about guys being a little lazy, cheating on some plays and things like that. So you'll hear from Jared Bednar coming up in a moment. Which team are you rooting for? JUCO, which gets underway this Saturday right here on the team. Get your tickets now, JUCOGJ.org. Your thoughts on that today. Avalanche losing last night. Your level of concern heading into game six tomorrow night right here on the team when they go to St. Louis. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Stay by the radio.
You're listening to the Jim Davis Show on the Team, 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction.
Welcome back. 7:50, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. Got some thoughts on the Avalanche losing in overtime last night at home ice. Blowing a chance to clinch that series to move on to the Western Conference Finals. After the game last night, Avs coach Jared Bednar on facing a Blues team last night that was playing with desperation.
Yeah, well, they played with more desperation than us in the second half of the game. And they had a couple chances, and their goalie made some big saves. And then for me, even getting like out of the second, we made a mistake on their goal, like just a little late on the coverage on the middle guy, a little late on the rush coverage on the next one. It's the last, you know, 6-8 minutes that, like, they're on a push and they're pressing down on us. And we made some mistakes with the puck. Like, we didn't get pucks out. We had pucks on our stick. They had that desperation to keep plays alive. And then we had, you know, looking back at it now and looking at the, you know, some of the play in D zone, like we got some poor habits in there, you know, cheating for pucks and not protecting the right part of the ice too. So, you know, Nate scores a huge goal for us to bounce us back in the lead. And then we give up another one. Like it was a, you know, 6-on-5, they get a bounce and we're kind of sitting in there doing everything right. And I don't think Kemps could find it. I don't think Kale could find it, but it's a play leading up to that, where we kick too many pucks back to him.
All right. That's Jared Bednar. Nathan MacKinnon had the hat trick last night. That sensational final goal, the hat trick. Incredible. That unfortunately goes for naught. MacKinnon asked what more was needed in game five.
Doesn't matter. Looking to get a win. I was happier after game four. So we got to move on, like Gabe said, and come back and, win game six on the road. It's a fun opportunity for us. Hopefully, everything happens for a reason, and we got to get this done. But, it should make our team a little harder, a little more grittier in these situations. Can't win every series in 4 and 5. You know, they have a great team, and we're excited to go have a huge challenge in St. Louis and try to close out a series.
Nate's right about that.
Yeah.
But Nate, you guys were up 3-0 last night.
Yeah.
On your home ice. I get it. St. Louis is tough. They're pesky. Game you should have won last night. It's our end of discussion. And I like to think they think that too.
Mm-hmm. I do like the fact where, oh, what could you have done differently? Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Game's over.
Got to move on. Got to wash that away and think about getting a win tomorrow night in St. Louis. Captain Gabriel Landeskog, or as you label this cut, Gabriel ARC and Landeskog on the loss last night.
First two periods, I thought we played really good and played some really good hockey. And we got tied in the third, and obviously they ramped up their desperation level, which is to expect. They're playing for their season and just didn't get it done. It's the same as if you win a game. You enjoy it for 3 minutes and you move on. And here it's the same thing. You sulk for 3 minutes and you move on. That's as simple as that. It's playoff hockey. It's not supposed to be easy.
All right, tomorrow night, chance once again for the Avalanche to clinch, this time at Enterprise in St. Louis. Pre-game at 5:30. Face-off at 6 o'clock. Connor McGahee. Hopefully that voice will be... get some rest.
Just kidding.
It's good-natured kidding, Connor, because we've been there before.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Totally been there before. Squeaky noise.
Last week, or no, RMAC tournament, walk-off win over UCCS for the Maps. I got a little there.
Got a little squeaky.
Little scratchy squeaky at the end, yep.
A little squeaky. So 5:30 tomorrow night, Connor McGahee, and if what Connor said's correct, which he would know better than us,
hope
Mark Mosier will be with him to do the game coming up tomorrow night, because it's McNabb. It's supposed to be McNabb at home with him and then Moj on the road. So they'll have the McGahee-Mosier combination tomorrow night here on the team pregame at 5:30. If there's a game 7, that will be, we don't know the time yet, but it will be on 1100 KNZZ 92.7 FM coming up on Sunday. Hopefully that will not be the case. But even Avalanche advance to the Western Conference Finals, those games will be on 1100 KNZZ 92.7 FM until the Junior College World Series is over. So, and just a reminder, by the way, Colorado Mesa baseball against Angelo State. That's tomorrow night over on the Monkey 95.7. Pre-game at 5:45 for that one with Jeremy Bryant, who was nice enough to come on with us earlier in the hour, the voice of the Angelo State Rams. All right, later on this morning, Tom Arrington, the coach of San Jacinto North out of Houston, Texas, back again in the Junior College World Series. We'll talk with Tom. Big matchup with McLennan. That's coming up on Saturday night at JUCO. Big highlight game of the weekend. And so we'll talk with him coming up later on this morning. Text or call the show today. Who are you rooting for at JUCO? Thoughts on the Avs loss, 970-242-1340.